Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Let's talk about the Falcons. How about that? Like, how about the fact that we didn't screw around? There is something I did not like about yesterday's game.
Oh, no.
And we'll get to it later, but it's and I think it's something that this team will learn, so we'll get to that. But you had a team that came out with their hair on fire, too, in Dallas. They came out ready to go offensively. They went right down the field in their first possession. And then they kicked the field goal. You were able to get them off. Caden Ellis played his best game of the season yesterday. 13 tackles.
I thought as a duo, Landman and Ellis played their best game. As a duo, maybe, that I've seen.
It's the first time all year that I've seen, and it felt like for the first time all season, Caden Ellis played free. Okay, he just played like someone unlocked him. His hair was on fire. He was going through blocks. He was just knifing through plays. I mean, the play he makes on the first drive on the screenplay, they must have ran 15 screenplays yesterday.
Yeah. Well, that was their running game. That has been their running game.
Because it turns out they ran the ball well, too.
I was going to say, it wasn't so much yesterday, but it has been their running game. I think that's why they've become so efficient at it. Yeah, I agree with you, though. That was a heck of a play, knifing through past my guy, Zach Martin, which is just, it was, you know, it's been hard to watch him. I mentioned that on Friday. But, yeah, he knifed right through there, man. It's a good call.
Ellis played his best game. I'm not sure if it was Ebbitt Cady's best game, but I will tell you that it's his best stat line. Because I know that people are going to say, well, that's stupid. That's the dumbest thing you could say. But I think he's made an impact, and I think Raheem thinks he's made an impact this season. But they've had moments where maybe there was a holding call that took or there was a penalty on the play that he made, and Rod took it off the board. But it was his best stat line for sure. He played like his hair was on fire, too.
You sound like you're happy with the defense overall. Are you happy with the three sacks? And I give credit to the Falcons defense, who have struggled in that aspect. We've talked about it here on the show. It's been talked about nationally. It's a lot of what they talked about during the game, actually. But they were able to rack up three alone in this one.
Yeah, Grady Jarrett played with his hair on fire, too.
Who, unfortunately, had to leave the game with an Achilles strain, just precautionary. But according to Troy McElhaney of the Falcons website, falcons.com, he said he felt good. So
I think it's one of those things you don't want to push.
You don't want to push it. But continue your thought.
You don't want to push it. I saw Grady after the game. I think he's fine. I think he'll play probably Sunday. If he doesn't, I wouldn't expect it to be more than one game. I know it's an area where you don't want to lose anybody up front, especially a guy like Grady Jarrett was this. I mean, he came out unreal to start, and he probably could have had more. I thought Dallas got away with a couple holes, including one of their touchdowns. They got away with a hold on Ebbitt Cady. Ebbitt Cady gave them all they could handle. Tyler Guyton was
buddy, I felt bad for him yesterday.
And let me look.
Man,
I don't want to go too far in the weeds to start off, because I know we wouldn't need to get to the offense and what Kirk and Bijan and company did. But Ebbitt Cady played 70% of your snaps yesterday, and D'Angelo Malone.
I was like, let's not bury the lead. I looked over it, I think, Goforth, either at the end of the first or early second quarter, and he had his binoculars out. You know, Goforth, he's got his binoculars out. And I look and I go, dude, is that D'Angelo Malone down there on the edge right now with Damon Harris at the three? I don't want to say shocked. Like, shocked is way too strong of a word. But when I saw D'Angelo Malone actually rushing the edge, I was like, I don't know that I've ever watched that. Like, you know, outside of preseason. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen that, man.
So, and he made a play.
Yeah, I thought he looked explosive.
He made a great read on another screen play. and I think that was to the fullback. Hepner, I think is his name, or Lepner, or whatever it was. But made a great play, a great read on the screen that was to Lepke. And that's, I mean, I don't know where that's been. You know, D'Angelo Malone doesn't see the field unless it's special teams, but I'm glad that we haven't traded him yet for Max Crosby in a seventh, because he's out there balling.
I gotta take him
off the board now. I don't know, man. I might have to take him off the board.
For D'Angelo Malone in seventh, I'd probably still do that.
Kirk Cousins, what, 7 touchdowns in his last 2 games?
And the red zone. They were perfect in the red zone for the 3rd consecutive game, going 3-for-3.
Which is what they needed to be, because this was the worst red zone defense in the NFL. The Cowboys were. And so you needed to be efficient in the red zone. It was something that you haven't been near as good in the red zone as it turns out. I mean, as you would think, for a team that's averaging 24 points a game, you scored another 3 points over your average. You were just a couple points shy of 30. I mean, you look at what Kirk Cousins did and how efficient he was. Darnell Mooney had another touchdown, another, what, 88 yards? I know Drake had the great touchdown catch early in the game, and then he went out with the hip injury. But once again, Bijan Robinson just does what he does. 5.5 yards a touch again. 145 yards from scrimmage yesterday. He's been phenomenal. This season, Bijan Robinson has 935 yards from scrimmage this year. All-purpose yards, right? 5.5 yards a touch and 5 touchdowns. He is quietly having, I mean, if Derrick Henry's not on pace to almost have 2,000 yards as a rusher, people have to be talking about Bijan Robinson as being one of the best running backs in football. And he still is in that, to me.
Yeah, and we're going to see one of those other guys next week when you take on the New Orleans Saints. Alvin Kamara, a massive day yesterday as well. And obviously we'll dive into that throughout the week with that matchup coming up. But I'm with you. The Falcons post-game notes they put out, they point to the fact that Kirk Cousins has a passer rating of 144 for the 2nd consecutive week. It's the 8th time in his career. But last week when he did this, it was the first time in 7 years he was able to pull off a 144 passer rating. And you're like, oh, that's crazy. Like, he did that for the 7th time in his career. Does it again. Just the efficiency that he is working with right now. Not only that, but can we talk about his relationship with Darnell Mooney for a second? A couple of huge 4th down plays to Darnell Mooney. Both of those throws on 4th down, he threw the ball before Darnell was looking, right? You got the rub route, obviously the touchdown on the 4th, and then like a 10-yard out that he throws before Darnell comes out of his break, which was just excellent. So he's operating at a high level right now. The protection was very, very good. Obviously yesterday, so hats off to those guys up front as well.
Yeah, they gave up 3 sacks yesterday, the Falcons offensive line did, but I don't think that 3 of those sacks, all of those sacks were on it. In fact, I think it was the 2nd sack that they gave up was a coverage sack. Was literally, if Dak is your quarterback across the yard, you probably get a 10-yard run out of it, because it was Kirk was moving, trying to find. And what had happened was Jake Matthews, and Mike, you tell me if I'm wrong, but from what I saw, Jake Matthews did everything. He did his job. Did everything he was supposed to do to a T. And when you push edge rushers out of plays and your quarterback kind of sits in the pocket and slowly climbs in it, you give that guy a chance to get back into play, and that's kind of what happened. And then another one was Kyle Pitts. I think it's going to be a lot like when – Vita Vea got a sack and Bijan Robinson was the guy who was lined up. I think Rod's going to say, yeah, we don't want Carl Lawson lined up on Kyle Pitts. That's not how that's supposed to work out.
Unfortunately, that is the way it was designed, but I think if they had that one back, they'd say, that's probably not a good matchup for us. Let's move on. So I don't know, man, but yeah, I thought the line played well, and I'm glad you said not all of them were the line's fault. Matter of fact, I don't think 2 of the 3 were, so there you go.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.